have seen. Ears have heard what's recorded in His Word. Is it Jesus our Lord? Wonderful. Oh, isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus our Lord? Wonderful. Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in His Word. Isn't Jesus our Lord? Wonderful. Do you believe that? Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus our Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in His Word. Isn't Jesus our Lord wonderful?
Yes, He is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord on Sunday morning? What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. Did we have church here last night? Did you enjoy Brother Terry's message last night? Praise the Lord. Brother Terry, just another five-star message. It was just really good. You have just really struck on something about Israel. And I want you to know from my heart, I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed what you said last night. It was so good, buddy. God bless you. Praise the Lord. And we're here again this morning, ready for camp meeting one more time. Are you glad to be in the house of God? Are you glad to be the house of God? Turn around and shake somebody's hand and say, God bless you, you great soldier of the cross. Isn't He wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus our Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard what's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus our Lord wonderful? Just give Him a real good hand clap of praise this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. I'm going to ask you just, if you will, to stand with me just for a few minutes. We only got just a very few prayer requests this morning. Brother Daniel, is Brother Daniel Nunley here? Is he in the building this morning? Okay, Brother Daniel, if you'll come on the platform, be getting ready to lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. First of all, I want to... There's a lady that received a really, really touch from the Lord over in the camp meeting on Friday night. Her name, Eleanor, who had never experienced the Lord. And she got a touch from God Almighty on Friday night and had never before felt the power of the Lord in her life. And she starved to death for more. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Donnie Cox wants to let everyone know that he certainly appreciates your prayers and for the Lord watching over him after his fall from the second story of his house. He has no broken bones or serious injuries, but had to have about 25 stitches inside his mouth and around his face. So certainly thank the Lord that it was no worse than what it was. Brother Donnie, we love the Cox family, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Then this prayer request came to the library. Brother Aaron Gilruth sends this in to please pray for Caden Clark, a little 7-year-old boy who is having heart problems. He is on medication for the condition, but it's not helping, and he will have to have a pacemaker put in. So they're asking that we would remember that prayer request this morning concerning that child. Also, I want you to pray for a friend of mine whose name is Tim Peer. We requested prayer here for him maybe two and a half years ago, just suffering really, really bad from cancer. Well, he came through that, and the Lord blessed him and helped him, and he started to appreciate your prayers. But he's back at Mayo Clinic in Florida with some blockage, and they say it's not cancer, but they're not sure what it is. But he's asking, and we're asking that you would remember Tim Peer in prayer. I also want you to pray for Taz Roberts this morning, sick in body. Got a hurting, real bad hurting in his side. Also, I think on Tuesday he has to have an MRI done to see what his situation is. So they called and requested prayer for Brother Taz Roberts this morning. So let's pray for them. Also, Amy Henley, our daughter, and Peyton Henley, our grandson, both sick. Ask that we would remember those folks in prayer this morning. So we just want to be mindful of all our congregation that's going through sickness and difficulties of whatever sort. We're praying for you this morning. You are God's praise team. You are God's team to get a hold of the throne of God. I heard Brother Branham say on a tape just a little while ago, he said, we're in this together. He said, I cannot do this without you. And you know what? A minister that comes behind this platform, a song leader, whoever's standing right here, they're helpless, so to speak, without the input of the congregation. You can make it so easy, or you can make it so hard. How many of you want to make it really, really easy for all facets of this service today? Let's just tune in to the Spirit of the Lord this morning. Let's get tuned in. Let's get dialed in to the Spirit of the Lord this morning. God's got great things for you today. Isn't He wonderful? Do you love Him with all your heart? Give Him one more hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Love you, buddy.
Amen. Brother Terry, I enjoyed that. Now also, you know, I'm glad I know His name. The name that's above every name. You know, I was thinking about different countries. They got different religions. Some people worship a cow. Some people Buddha, Confucius, and all these different things. But I'm glad I know Jesus Christ this morning. He's my healer, my Savior. And I'm thankful to be in this church today. Let's take our needs, our requests to God this morning. Heavenly Father, once again we come before your throne. Once again we thank you because we know that you are the all-powerful God. And God, that you say whatever we ask in faith, believing that you'll do it. May our faith go forth this today, Lord. May it move, I pray, God, for every need, every request. God, as the names came forth today, the young boy, God, with heart problems. Brother Donnie falling off of a ladder. Other requests, God, we just know that you can heal and that you can touch and that you can save. God, we commit every one of these needs into your hands. God, those by the way of the internet, I pray in the name of Jesus that you just move no matter where they are, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray that you bless this service today. Help us, oh God, that we'll put our faith, trust completely in you. God, that you'll take charge of this service. God, there'll be one that's lost, one that don't know yet. We pray that today, Lord, that you'll make that decision. God, we commit this service in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Daniel. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here in the service with us today, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that would be streaming this service today, we pray that this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Could we say it? God bless our streamers. God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand, if you will, this morning. Also, we've got some folks with us this morning from Ontario, Canada. Brother Abraham Denny, I hope I got that name close to right, and his family. Where would they be this morning? Would you just raise your hand so we can see? And sir, where are they? Somebody point them out. Right back over here. Give them a nice hand this morning. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Well, you know what? We're in process of leaving. Are you getting ready? The old gospel ship just about here to get us. How many of you glad you're going to get on that thing? How many of you glad you're part of it? How many of you glad you got a seat reserved? Amen. Well, I'm going to take a trip in the old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh, now I'm going to take a trip in the old gospel ship. I'm going far. Couple of songs this morning. Sister White from down in Arkansas, she's here and she's going to give us a song Also, Sister Anna Lynn, she has a song this morning. If those sisters would come onto the platform, be getting ready to sing for us this morning, we'll go right on into the service. But let's sing this chorus while they're coming to get ready to sing for us this morning. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. The most shameful thing in my life, that if I had to say it, if I was not one of them, I'd be ashamed, wouldn't you? I'm so glad God included us, Brother Terry. He put us in the puzzle. We're in the picture. Oh, you're somewhere in that picture this morning. Are you glad about it? Praise the Lord. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Sister White, God bless you. Give her a nice hand as she gets ready to sing for you this morning.
The sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone and I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone and I've been set free. My God, my Savior ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone and I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be forever mine. You are forever mine.
I see shattered, you see whole. I see broken, but you see beautiful. And you're helping me to believe. You're restoring me piece by piece. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy, I am clean. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You wash me in mercy, and I am clean. What was dead now lives again. My heart's beating, beating inside my chest. Oh, I'm coming alive with joy and destiny. Oh, 'cause you're restoring me piece by piece. Oh, there's nothing to do. There's nothing too dirty that you can't make worthy. You washed me in mercy. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I am clean. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I'm clean, I'm clean, oh. Washed in the blood of your sacrifice. Your blood flowed red and made me white. My dirty rags are purified. I'm clean.
Time to go on into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord. We're just going to pull on the gift of God, see what God has for us today. Are you glad to be in church? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Let's give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him this morning. Amen. Let's sing a little chorus together. We're going to keep pressing on. How many of you got that in your heart this morning? Well, I hope the rest of you can tag on to the rest of our coattails. How many of you are going to press on this morning? How many of you are really going to press on by the grace of God? Somebody say glory. Somebody say glory. Give him one more hand clap. You love him with all your heart. We're going to keep pressing on.
Thing, if Satan is trying to stop you, you ought to be one of the most encouraged human beings that there are alive. Because if he's trying to stop you, it shows he ain't got you. I mean, don't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. If he done had you, he'd have you convinced, deceived. He'd be persuaded you're all right and you do whatever you want to do. But he's after you. He hates you, fights you. And that's only half the story. We're after him. We hate him. We fight him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't you appreciate the word of the Lord today? As always, it's a great privilege for us to be able to be together. I've had some really good services over at the camp meeting this year. The brothers did a really outstanding job. It was a Thursday night and Friday night. Brother Craig Brewer did Thursday night, and Brother Tim Pruitt did Friday night. And just done some really outstanding preaching. And had a lot of needs that was represented. I think a total of about 400 and some thousand dollars of needs that was presented. And they lifted $188,000 toward those needs. I don't tell you much what we do, but I'll let you just know a little bit today that as your representative, you took care of over half of that. So on behalf of those who get Bibles and churches and roofs and all kinds of things, I thank you. I thank you. I took the liberty of adding it to your account. Not only those that are visible here, but many people from different parts of the world send tithes and offerings and missionary offerings and things like that. And I also say to them today, many of them have never darkened this church door. They've never sat here in this pew. Yet they consider this their church and they financially support it. And I'd also like to say to them, thank you. Most of the people that will be benefited by that will never see you in life. And you'll never see them. Me and Carol were sitting there the other night and I was just writing down the various needs and listening to the needs, and this one needs a church, that one needs a church, this one needs a church, that one needs a church. I was talking about as we left, I said, can you imagine if we was in Johnson City and we lived there and we were believers and we didn't have our own church? We'd have to go to a schoolroom or rent a public place, and we couldn't have it three times a week because we wouldn't be able to get it. And then we'd be sharing it with other people. And I've told you before, I was in Kenya several years ago and was scheduled to be in a particular place. And when we got there on Sunday morning for the service, they'd made a mistake. And they'd scheduled that particular place for two separate groups. So the other group claimed they had the first priority. So we was outside the school under a big large tree, about 600-700 people. Out in the open, blazing sun, probably 90 degrees or better. People sweating, just perspiring, awful. But we had church. Some of us spoiled Americans would have a hard time. But I do believe this, friends. God has allowed us to be Americans for a reason. You know, the seed of God could have landed in a black body just as well as a white body. It could have landed in a Congolese or an Egyptian or an Ethiopian or whatever more. God could have allowed you and I to be born over there, but God allowed us to be born here. It does not give us a white privilege at all. It does not give us an American privilege. I believe it gives us a greater responsibility. In saying that, there was many of those needs, of course, that were not met. Many that will not get what they were sincerely desiring and hoping and praying for. But those needs will continue to be there. So if any of you that are under the sound of my voice today, or any of you that will hear this service, if you'd like to contribute in the future for such, We have a mission account set up here for the church, and that's all that it goes toward. It goes for absolutely nothing else. And if you'd like to, down the road sometime, help take care of some of these needs, we'll certainly forward it to the Bible Tabernacle there, and I know that they'll see that it gets taken care of. Amen. Are you happy today?
Amen.
No, I'm not going to lift an offering, so you can relax. It's Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. We're a blessed people, aren't we?
Yes. Right. Yeah.
And with blessings, of course, comes responsibility as well. Let's read this scripture that we've been stuck on now for about, 18 parts now, including today. But it's so good, it's worth reading again and again and again. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, campfire, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees, listen to this now, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh, and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters. Carol and I was coming yesterday from Brother Andrew's wedding. We passed a billboard that said, "Plant a garden and change the world." I told Carol, I said, "God changed the world, then planted a garden." That's what he's done for us. He's changed us and planted this in us. We were in worse shape than the world. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Let's bow our heads together. Blessed God, we count it a great honor again that you've given to us, that we could be here today, Father. Lord, I hope we don't take it for granted. I know we do. I just want to say to you, I thank you that we have a church that we can come to. Lord, I've been privileged by you to be able to travel in different parts of the world and see some of the places that our brothers and sisters have to worship in. And dear God, I thank you for our little place. It's not beautiful. It's not a great cathedral by any means, but it's sufficient for us, Lord. Amen. Father, I pray that we would be able to take advantage of every opportunity that we have. And when we do come here, Lord, know that we are not just here for one another, but we are here for you. I pray, Lord, that you'd take your word and speak to us, anoint us afresh, Father. May our lives be transformed, our minds renewed, as we sit in the awesome presence of the Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. My thought again today is the wedding night. You know already that we are not the only ones getting married. Actually, we are the minority that are getting married. There are billions of people on this earth that are uniting in unholy matrimony. They were initially united by their birth. For that, they cannot be held responsible for. That was placed upon each of us by being a mortal, breaking the womb of a woman, being born from the tree of death. God does not hold us responsible because of the way we were born first. What he holds us responsible for is because we don't choose to change the way we were born. We cannot change the first birth, but we do have an option on the second birth. As the people of the world are uniting with fashions, with the music, with the times that we live, they are conforming to the image of another king. Two great powers that are in the world today, of course, God and Satan. Absolutely every individual is being moved and motivated by one of those kings. Satan, of course, being the king or the principality of the powers of the air, and God being that of righteousness and truth. Every mortal, whether they believe in God or not, every church member, whether they are saved or not, every individual, every person around the message, every person on the face of the earth is being united. We can't keep from it. Always say, I'm going from God because I don't want to be forced upon. I don't want to do this. You don't have that privilege. Every person is going to be under the influence of a supernatural power. You cannot live here and be free from the influence of a supernatural power. Now, looking at it this way, you're like this. There's three realms above you, three realms beneath you, and you are caught in the middle. So you're in the zone by which you are able to be influenced by either or below or part of both of these realms. The world that is unconverted constantly are living under this influence that is below them. And the mercy and the kindness of God will at random, from week to week, time to time, will offer and actually offer influence to those people. Yet their soul being magnetized to the realm that is beneath them, being under the headship of Satan. But the mercy of God will show them a church sign, a little something pricked their heart. Somebody will leave a tract laying somewhere in a bathroom, or they'll go into a motel and they're pulling up, open the drawer to get the remote for the TV, and there's a Gideon's Bible or some little tract that someone left behind. And the mercy of God from these three realms above them trying to offer them a better life. Yet for the most part, the majority of humanity that live on the face of the earth, they have chosen the downward path. Most of them will never be affected by the Spirit of God. There will be a small number which will become, into overall comparison to the world that will be lost, a number of them which will make up the saved category. They were able to respond enough to the Spirit of God to be able to yield a portion of their life to the Lord, and they were saved. They were never able to move very much farther than that in their walk with God. They joined a church. They went to a church that told them, all you need to do is give your heart to Christ, and that's it. And that's as far as they'll ever go. Some are able to move a little farther and have an experience with God to be able to believe in a supernatural. Maybe they spoke in tongues, saw visions, or had dreams, and so on. And yet, that's as far as they will be able to go. But there will be a very small, minute number which will have lived upon the face of the earth, beginning with Adam, and then Abel, and then Seth, and then on down, and coming down, of course, to the gospel dispensations, as we would say, a tithe from the earth. They would be able to enter into a realm with God by which they would be considered very strange. They would be looked upon as mystics of every age that they lived. They would be thought upon as people very strange and very peculiar. Their demeanor would be one of a heavenly aura. But they would also have a magnetism and a reflection of an earthly atmosphere. They would be of mixed race in that they are born of the Spirit of God and they are of a heavenly DNA. But while they are here in this life, they remain a mortal, so they are in a very peculiar situation. They are divine and human at the same time. They will be able to hear the voice of God. They will be able to hear Him as He speaks. It will go beyond their reasoning. It will go beyond parental teaching. It will go beyond their own better judgment at times. But it is something beyond themselves. It is something greater than they are. They could never ask for it, buy it, trade for it. It's absolutely beyond anything they could ever do. And of course, we know they are allocated that by the mercy and the blessing of God. They will be able to live in a sphere in the spiritual realm with God, which would be sought upon as many as the most coveted treasure that a mortal would ever be able to have. They will have a divine deposit given to them by the Almighty, which will lay dormant in many of their lives for many, many decades. But all of a sudden, one day, something began to move upon them, and they were pulled toward a divine calm, which released to them a divine revelation, which produced a divine energy, which anointed a divine faith, and gives them a divine calm, which will also end up with the consummation of a divine body change, and lead them to a divine city made by a divine creator, come from a divine attribute of a divine almighty God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. They will be part of the very small, which will be united to the eternal in holy wedlock. The majority of the rest of the world will be united to the powers of darkness and the kingdom of Satan. In this wedding night, as everyone is getting married, for the bride, she's putting on wedding garments which have been provided by her bridegroom. It was something that was sent to her. She's not worthy of it. Certainly nothing she could do to be able to buy them. Also, on the other side of the marriage of darkness, they also are being provided with garments which they themselves may go out and buy. But the origination of those garments and the influence of the designers of the garments by which they wear certainly do not come from Hollywood. They come from hell. The music by which they are all joined together in around the world, whether it is rock and roll or rap or country or whatever more, it is being inspired by the king of this dominion of darkness. And he is by music, by movies, by internet, praise the Lord, by all the things that are around us that come from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he is uniting his wife together for the tribulation period. Oh my. So there is a great, great lot of things that are happening. There is a great deal of preparation that is going on around the world. The communists, which do not believe in God, they are uniting as well under the headship of Satan. The denominations which believe in God, they are uniting too. It's under a different union, but they are still coming under the same head. Now, Satan knows he'll never have one great major organization by which everybody will join, and this is why he needs a council which started back many, many decades ago, and it would be able to lead them where they could maintain their separate identity in their little denominational offshoot of the mother, but they would still be under one headship. Praise the Lord. Now, in under that, then of course will come Rome, but God also also has a surprise for Rome. Many of you may have read it this week that Putin had said about the Pope that he is not a man of God, that he is a politician. I said, amen, Mr. Putin. Amen. Now, we know, according to Scripture, that Russia is going to play her place in bombing the Vatican. Amen. Is that right? Now, we know then, and as I read that, yes, I just couldn't keep from chuckling because I read his words and he said that the Pope is not a man of God and he's not a man of the Bible and he's not a man of Christ. I thought, isn't that something? Some Russian over there, and yet you've got all these Protestants that think he's the greatest thing that ever hit the earth. Don't you see? Glory to God. Don't you see? That thing is anointing them. Now remember, this is the president of Russia, and he must have that mindset. Well, glory be to God. If they are seeing and declaring it, don't you see where we are? If they are coming into their position and they are going to bomb her, then you and I must also be in our position as the bride of Jesus Christ. Now, of course, we're not against Catholic people per se. We're not against Baptist people. But we are against the system that will pull anybody away from Christ Jesus. I am against message systems that pull people away from a personal walk with God. As a matter of fact, I think they need to be preached against just as hard as any organization there is out there, because they produce the same thing. So it produces people to follow this man or that man. Or that man, or this church, or another church. We ought to follow Christ the Word. That's right. And be married to Him. This wedding is not about being married to Brother Branham, as much as we honor, love, and respect him. It is not about being married to your pastor. It is not about being married to some gifted man of God. It is about being married to the Lord Jesus. That's right. Unlike Satan, which will marry people in proxy because he knows under the form of his headship that if they are married in proxy to an organization, because the majority of humanity would never willingly marry Satan himself, they would never marry him, so they will marry him under the proxy representation of Buddhism, or they will marry him under the proxy religion of Mohammedism or Baptist, Methodist, or whatever. Come on now, don't get quiet. Most of the Mohammedans are not marrying the devil in the sense of them outright willingly doing it. But Mohammedism is not a scriptural belief. Neither is Shintoism or Buddhism or Two-Soulism or Trinitarianism or a lot of these other isms and wasms. That's right. So Satan then unites the majority of the people under deceit in the form of proxy. So he will set an image up that dates back to 565, you know, AD, and then they'll form this and that and the other, and then it ties all these sincere people by the thousands, whether they're Buddhists or Shintos or whatever more, and they really believe they're worshiping a god somewhere. And they are. I don't deny that they're not worshiping a god, but it's the god of this evil age, not the God of truth. So by proxy then, they are being united in this unholy matrimony or unholy wedlock to the devil. And once the tribulation sets in, then all the religions of the world, they must consolidate together. Then you imagine, Brother Terry, when the realization strikes their soul. You see, after the rapture has taken place, it is a great time of realization. It is a great time of realization in heaven, but it is also a great time of realization on the earth. I believe when we move into our bodies that the realization will finally strike us that we existed before. I don't
think we'll ever be able to really comprehend it. I believe as long as we're here as mortals, that through the stream of time crossing over beyond the realm into face, that we will never be allowed to actually know that we were there in the mind of God. That is a face wall. You understand that? But once we move beyond this realm of mortality into our glorified body, I believe that face wall, because I spoke to you here Wednesday night, will no longer be needed. You won't need face anymore. We won't need preaching anymore. We won't need prayer lines anymore. But we will be able to move into the realm of perfect realization. We are now partially realizing who we are. And yet the seed in you has an identity of perfect realization. Yet all of our walks right here today are only an advancement of partial realization. And as we realize more and more and more of the word, then the more we want to see and the more we want to understand. And it's that the more you realize, oh, it's so good and it's so wonderful, and yet you say, oh my, that was tremendous. I love that so much. And it's like after the newness of that wears off a little, it's like, you know, there's still got to be more. I know there's more. So what do you do? Wednesday night, those of you that come back to church Wednesday night, you're going to be expecting more from the same source that you get today's sermon from, right? And what will you do next Saturday night, next Sunday? And you'll do it month after month, year after year, because you know there's more. Now, for people who have arrived, I can see why they don't go to church, because they really don't need no more. But if you are still under partial realization, then you know you need to keep coming and keep reading and keep listening to tapes, because more unfolds itself, unfolds itself, unfolds itself. But it's also now in the same way on the counterpart, how that Satan has also been being revealed or made known, because the opening of the sea is not only revealed the Son of Man, but it revealed the Son of Perdition. So it took the seals off the mysteries of God through the church ages, and it unveiled Christ, the Mighty One, but it also took the cover off of the devil. Remember the white horse rider and the pale horse rider and all that. What was the seals to do? It was to take the cover off of that rider and reveal who it was. Remember, for years and years, Brother Branham preached that that white horse rider was the Holy Ghost. Is that right? No, don't get quiet on me now. Yes, he did. He preached that it was the Holy Ghost. Why? It was hid behind a religious symbol, and it hid so well that a prophet looked right there. How many times have you heard him preach the mighty conqueror? And he would take that scripture right there from Revelation 6:1 of the white horse rider, and he identified that as the Holy Ghost. Why? Partial realization. But whenever it come time, amen, for more of the word to come clear, that partial realization turned into a more full realization. And he said, I was looking over some old notes, and he said, I would have made a terrible, horrible, I think the word he used, horrible mistake. What was he going to do? Preach it the way he had preached it before. But whenever he looked out there, Brother Terry, and he saw that, he realized that was not the Holy Ghost at all. It was the devil. So what was it? The devil in the form of proxy was actually identified, oh my, and marrying up to the churches, to the organizations, to the world religion, even to politics and all that. Look for it. The agnostics, the atheists, all of them in the tribulation, they'll all be under one head. The Republicans hate the Democrats, and the Democrats hate the Republicans. The Baptists hate the Methodists, and so on and so on and so on. But actually, in reality, they're all under one head. But if you're under Christ, you don't hate anybody. If you hate anybody today, you need to get delivered. Now, you might not like the ways, you might not like things they do, but if you have hatred in your heart, you need to be set free. Right? But Satan's people can hate one another and fight one another and despise one another, and yet they're all under the same head, because it's the way he does it. He trickles it down by proxy and sends it over in all these different directions, and they don't know the source. So if they had the ability, and this is why we needed a prophet, to be able to come back and run through all them avenues of the proxy and be able to trace it all back. I imagine the devil's been so mad in this day that he couldn't stand it. He's been hid for all these years, but you can't hide from a prophet of God that can be able to look plumb back into the mind of God. So everybody's getting married. The question is, who are you marrying? Now you said amen whenever I said the Baptists are getting married, but let me bring it on down to home. Some of the folks that sit in message churches are getting married to the devil. Why? They're substituting just going to church, or substituting, well, I listen to a tape, for a new birth. I believe in listening to tapes too, but you still got to be born again. I believe in going to church, but you still got to be born again. I believe in reading the Bible, but you still got to be born again. Now, Satan has learned it so many, many years ago, thousands of years ago, actually, that the way God constructed and made up the human being, that he was a three-part being, and that he was soul, spirit, and body, come from the inside out, that the outside part has see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, the inside, imagination, conscience, memory, reason, affection, but the inside part is the throne room or the control tower. Then the individual has a great potential of being influenced by the things that are around them on the inside, especially if the inside of the inside is not yet permanently sealed to be a complete residence for the Almighty. And we know that's the way it was in the Garden of Eden. Whatever Adam and Eve had, as you've heard me say before, whatever it was they had, they was able to lose or fall away from. Now the potential of that lays in every human being until God was able to bring the perfect token on the earth in the life of the Lord Jesus, then seal that individual in their soul to a place that they could not, absolutely could not ever lose that seal. Praise God. So this morning, if you have that, you are sealed farther into the kingdom of God than Adam ever was in the beginning. Now, I grant you, we don't have the ability to speak to the elements yet, but don't worry, we will. But in our soul, it has already crossed the chasm, and we're back into the eternity with God. But that still leaves two elements of us, two spheres of us, which can be greatly affected by the mortal realm. So Satan in this day has been able to advance. And we know the pre-Andaluvian destruction in the days of Noah, they were greatly advanced in science and all that. We don't know exactly what all they had. We don't know if they had electronics and electricity and this and that and the other in the way that we do today, but we know that they had a great advancement. And we know that in this time that we live, Satan is using all the things at his disposal to try to daily affect everybody. Now, even if there is some way that he can be able to tell or see or by your own reflection that you are sealed into the presence of God, I don't think Satan has a special tool or a special microscope or nothing like that, that he can look down into the soul and see that you are sealed. I believe that it is a reflection of your constant behavior and belief in the truth that will be able to pulsate that into the realm of darkness, because from a sealed soul of a child of God actually comes beams of light. And you are light because of the Spirit of God in you. And then if he realizes that you've got the seal of the Holy Ghost, I believe then he focuses on the two other realms, which is your spirit and your body. And even though the soul will be sealed, the spirit and the body still can be affected by the things around you. So what you read, what you listen to, the people you talk to, come on church, you're going to preach with me? They affect us every day of our life. Now, you know the bride, whenever she was there with Solomon, she said, "Awake, O north wind, and come thou south, and blow upon my garden that the spices thereof may flow out." The mind needs to be renewed with godly established principles, which can only come from the Lord Jesus himself. It is within each of us today to have the great potential of being great children of God. But it's also in our potential to be saved but yet not be victorious. So a person can be a saved Christian and they actually are under the blood, their sins are remitted, and they will stand before God for that, but they don't live a victorious life. They just struggle with things in their life. They come to church sporadically, they pay their tithes sporadically, or they read sporadically, and they're never really victorious. You know, they're just kind of like this, up and down and up and down, and they're just, you know, they're sad some days, and other days they're just so happy. And I'm not talking about emotional happiness, I'm talking about soul happiness. But yet those that really cross into the line into eternity, they have a happiness that is there every day, even though the outside realm can be depressing. Amen. Now, you know what I'm talking about, that there is an inner peace in behind the veil, in the inner curtain there, where that you have a happiness that if you can pull away from the world and get by yourself long enough, it'll begin to gurgle up on the inside, which is a lot of our problems. We don't get by ourselves enough. We want to go have breakfast with this one and lunch with that one and snack with that one. You need to go have a little bit of time with the Lord in order to be able to refresh yourself. Right. Now watch. So what this does, the minds, the thoughts, and the attitudes of the mind actually serve as a conduit by which are able to reach and deeply penetrate your inward being. By the Spirit of God, He can take the Word, take messages, take songs, take tapes, and be able to bring you into an atmosphere which is more conducive for you to be able to live a Christian life. Now, will this, does this save you? No, you're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus. But this is going to affect your everyday walk with God. If you fill your mind constantly with movies and movies and movies and more movies and more magazine articles and more websites of this and that and the other, and you never really are feeding on spiritual things, don't be surprised if you find yourself in not a very great spiritual attitude or a great spiritual frame of mind. Now, we're all getting married. Now, as I said, it will be the same with the people of the world. If they did not constantly have this influx of worldly music and worldly language and worldly behavior and worldly talk, why, the presence of God would eventually overcome the whole world and they'd all be saved. And Satan knows that. So every day, I mean, he's got his guys working. He's got his scientists working. He's got all of them working day in and day out, night and day, trying to come up with new gadgets, new mechanisms, new things. What for? In order to occupy your time. You know how long your attention span is right now in this age? When television was first introduced, it was like 3 minutes that you could look at the same thing and not become bored. Now it's 0.015. Scenes have to change. Things have to change rapidly, fast, fast, fast. Why? We get bored. Maybe that's why some of y'all don't come to church much. You get bored. What is it? It's Satan. What's he wanting to do? Get married. Well, you know how he is. If God wants a wife, he wants one. But he wants his wife to be more. He wants to have more because he thinks in his mind, more is greater. That ain't the way God looks at him. Satan counts his crowd. God weighs his by character. If his weight, we'd all be all right. But it's by character. So Satan constantly looking for the influx because the light of God, children, I don't think we understand. The light of God that has struck the earth in this day by the opening of these seals, Satan had to go on double overtime. The light of God that has struck this earth, if we was dealing with the measure of sin that was here in the 50s, the way this word has exploded in this generation, Lord have mercy, we'd be ruling right now. So what's he do? Constantly, constantly getting things to occupy people's mind, their times, their avenues, their venues of life, so that they can be so affected with this life. So what they watch, what they listen to, who they fellowship with, becomes the conduit that flows this into their life, and it begins to mold them and shape them. Can I preach this morning? I'm sure Brother Terry did a great job, and I can't preach like him, and he can't preach like me, but I'm just going to preach what the Lord gave me this morning. Notice this in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. Amen. Now, if you'll pretty much follow everything that you do in your life through this verse right here. So if somebody sends you garbage, through Facebook or email or text or whatever more. They want to talk about this brother or that sister or that another. See if you can pass that text through this scripture. Amen. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. If you can't, trash it. Oh, but Brother Donnie, they're my very best friend. Oh, I thought God was. I'm sorry. I didn't realize you. I thought you Christians told me that God was your first everything. In reality, it's not for many people. They're so afraid they'll hurt their this one or that one or the other. What about hurting God? Don't anybody care about that anymore? You're afraid you're going to hurt your husband, your wife, or your mama, your daddy, your best friend. Ain't nobody concerned about hurting God? I am. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Look, friend, it's as simple as this. As I was sitting in North Carolina the other day, and the Spirit of God spoke these simple words to my heart. Change your thinking and change your life. Change your thinking and change your life. Oh my, is there anybody in Happy Valley that wants to be an overcoming Christian? That wants to be a victorious Christian, not just saved. I don't want to have just a saved church. I want, as a pastor, I want to have a victorious church. A church. Oh, Brother Donnie, you saying we won't get sick? I'm saying we will get sick. But after we get sick, we're going to get well. Are you saying we won't have battles? I'm saying we will have them. But in the midst of the battle, we're going to have victory. And when the battle's over, we're really going to have victory. We may take our tambourine like Miriam did and shake it down the banks of the river. Hallelujah. And say, that Egyptian which bound me down is laying in the bottom of the sea. Oh my. Notice again in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Greek word here, domazein, is commonly applied to metals, to the operation of testing or trying metals with the severity of fire. Notice it don't say God's going to prove it. It says you are. That ye may prove what is the, oh my, that what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the sense is that a renewed mind leads to a victorious life, to where you were able by the Spirit of God to prove what is the good and perfect and acceptable will of God. How many would want that in your life? Having a disposition to obey Him, a disposition to keep His word, not because you're scared you're going to hell, not because you're terrified you're going to be lost. You're so overwhelmed with love, you want to do it because He said so. You see, a heart in love with the fashions of this world and with the times. Look, friend, what's happening in our lifetime? For those of us that are sitting here at least 30 years old, think of what you have seen happen in your lifetime. Marriage has been redefined. Oh, I know it ain't proper to speak against it, all this sort of thing no more, but I'm going to anyhow. I am not a modern day preacher. I am not concerned. If you want to fire me, fire me. God will put me out somewhere else and he'll take care of me. I believe God joined together a man and a woman. There are no scriptures that tells a woman how to love her wife. There are no scriptures that gives a man the correction of how to be able for a man to deal with his husband. Show them to me and I'll preach them. Oh, but we've updated. Maybe you have, but I still believe the old-fashioned truths. Oh my, Brother Donnie, you're going to get thrown in jail. That's all right. That runs in my family. But so does the jailhouse rock also run in my family. So whatever we gotta do, bring it on, devil. That's what I say. Because we are going to stand for what's right. What did Satan do? Well, I read it many years ago. I don't remember the name of the movie now. But one of the first injections that Hollywood did many, many years ago
was to be able to inject one man which had a boyfriend. They started playing it internationally on airlines as they crossed the Atlantic and the Pacific. Little by little, they started changing. Now the polls in America have swung to where people think it's all right. What are they doing? Getting married. I mean, it ain't been that long ago whenever I was born. If you was born a boy, you was a boy. If you was born a girl, you was a girl. And you never wanted to be, if you was a girl, you didn't want to be a boy. Some of y'all afraid to say amen, are you? And if he's born a boy, you didn't want to be a girl. He's like, I don't want to be no girl. You didn't even want to be around girls till you got a lot older, much less be one. But what's it doing? People say, oh, they're coming out of the closet. You believe that trash? Don't you see what's changing them? Movies, music, internet. Politicians and the left are taking up for them. I read this morning of a preacher with a big, large church, not in the message, but up in Pennsylvania, thought it was a shame that Christians were standing against transgenders. According to this preacher, Jesus would be scared to sit in some churches and hear it preached against. Well, I know my Jesus pretty good. I don't figure my Jesus would darken that dude's door. Because who knows, he might have been a woman in his first life. Now, I realize when you get married, you always wind up with things in that person that you didn't know. But brother, I'll tell you one thing. You talking about bizarre. If you married a woman and one day you found out, and that was a picture of her, him, shim, whatever they are, and you found out and say, boy, that looks a lot like you. Said, who's that? That was me when I was a man. Uh-oh. Click. Now once I'm on the internet, here we go, Brother Jim. Get read in the library. I've said before, I say again. Show me what God ever joined two men together or two women, and I will do the same. And yet many of those who do that hate religion. But they are also getting married in proxy in the form of gay rights. But it's all trickled down from one head. You understand, friends? It's all trickled down from one head. And they don't have enough spiritual discernment to trace back through all the tributaries and be able to find out, you mean I'm married to the same God that these religious people are married to? And they're fighting us and we're fighting them? Same marriage. Very same marriage. You mean the Baptists and the Methodists that wind up in the tribulation period denominational with the mark of the beast, they're going to find out they've got the very same head? They fought one another for years. They wouldn't even fellowship one another in their meetings and conventions, and they're going to wind up and realize they're married to the same head. Oh my goodness. Who ordered this morning? Because this sure ain't on my notes. The next time some of y'all orchestrate this, please give me a heads up so I can be a little better prepared. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the word good here is not an adjective, but it is a noun. It's not describing the will of God. It's not saying, well, the will of God is good. It is a noun which places it in there, that the will of God is something you actually possess. It's not describing something you wish you had. It is something that is yours. Let me tell you something, friend. If this world is going in the way they are in darkness and there's nothing going to stop them, let me flip it around on the other side and say, if they can't be stopped, neither can we.
Will we turn them around? We will not. Will the world be saved? No, sir. Will they all come to Christ? No, sir. Will the bride be lost? No, sir. Will the bride turn away? No, sir. Will the bride be able to stand in this last day? Yes, sir. You see, it is the law of our nature that we are molded and shaped by the power of assimilation. We dealt with this a few years ago. We become assimilated with those whom we fellowship. Now may I say to our young people here today, Brother Don and these other preachers that would preach against you dating a worldly girl or a worldly boy, we are not trying to rob you.
Amen.
We are trying to save you hell on earth.
Amen.
A Christian should only marry a Christian.
Amen.
Let me bring it on down. You ain't got no business marrying a Baptist. You ain't got no business. Let me bring her on down. You ain't got no business bearing somebody in this message that don't believe in preachers. You ain't got no business sitting here as you young girls and young boys at Happy Valley marrying some of these folks around this message that are deity and worship Brother Branham. Brother Tim Hume was telling me the other day of a man in Africa who baptized in the name of Brother Branham. And I saw a picture of it on his phone. The man holds up the picture of Brother Branham in the pillar of fire. And when he baptized the people, he baptized them in the name of William Branham under the auspices of this picture. And the man was in a meeting some time back and stood up before a great crowd of people and said, "Jesus Christ is an imposter, a snake. William Branham is Almighty God." And he said, "If Jesus Christ is real, let him strike me dead." The man went over and sat down in a chair and fell over dead. In a matter of moments, his bowels and his guts busted out of his body. The people took off running in 10 minutes, come back. And listen, friends, I saw this picture. The man's tongue hanging out of his mouth, and his body had already started rottening. They didn't even wait for a coffin. They didn't wait for anything. They buried the man right there because the stench of the man. And these were people that supposedly followed this message. This message does not proclaim such stuff. And what did some of the followers of it do? They said this man was a martyr. Because there's no scripture that says it's a sin to blaspheme Jesus Christ. It's a sin to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Do you understand what we're dealing with? We're dealing with a bunch of reprobates.
Amen.
We're not just talking about reprobates out here. If we don't get into this word with all of our hearts, it will blind us.
Amen.
Brother Ram said the truth either binds you or sets you free.
Amen.
Oh my. Notice the meaning of this word assimilate, to take in and incorporate as one's own, absorb, to bring into conformity with the customs, attitudes, etc., to cause to resemble. Oh, everybody's getting married by the power of assimilation. So young girls, young men, you get around a girl or a young man and, "Well, you know, I'll go to church with you sometime. I'll go sometime. I'll meet your mom and dad. I'll meet them sometime." Don't you be ashamed of what you believe. "Oh, I'm going to win them to the Lord. I'm going to bring them to the Lord." And then you better be careful, sis. You better be careful, brother. You may be making a terrible one of the worst moves of your entire life. Preach, Lord Jesus. Say it to us this morning, Lord. And if you're not careful, little by little, that little girl or that young man, you'll begin to assimilate their denominational singing. Well, you're not the only ones, and you're not this and that and the other. You'd had a hard time telling Enoch that. You'd had a hard time telling Noah that in the Old Testament. He wasn't the only one that built a boat. The prophet said there's more boats in them day, but he is the only one that had a God-constructed boat. Hallelujah. There was all kinds of folks building boats, and may I say, there's all kinds of churches, there's all kinds of organizations, there's churches bigger than ours, preachers that are smarter than yours. But let me say this to you, friend, if it's not a God constructed church teaching the scriptural principles of one God, water baptism in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and a new birth, amen, and the truth of God, it is not God constructed. It is man made and it will sink. So some are assimilating into religion. Just accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's all you have to do. They just assimilate. But for the majority of the Indians in India, they don't want that. So they have, the last account that I read, 33 million gods in Hinduism. But now remember, it's under the same head, but it's a tributary by proxy. And those would fight each other. Praise the Lord. So then in certain places, they have the monkey god. And it is a great blessing if you are sitting under a tree and the monkey comes down out of the tree and eats part of your sandwich. Let me tell you one thing. If that dude takes one bite off of it, he can have it. I don't want no monkey slobbers on my sandwich. Are you, Brother Harold? He can have that dude. My milk, my Coke, my water, and little Debbie's and everything else if he wants it. Can you imagine that people, are they sincere? Many of them are. Sincere. And they do all they know to do and lost. But what's the headship of Satan going to do? Oh, we're all tolerant. That's why you see the bumper stickers with symbolism of Mohammedism and Christianity and Buddhism and peace, peace, tolerance, tolerance. It's amazing to me how that works. Everybody has so much tolerance for everybody except truth speakers. Then there is no tolerance. Why? The world is assimilating into a one world government. It is assimilating into a one world brotherhood, and they must oust those renegades and rebels who preach separation. So I suppose we should put it to a vote this morning. What do you think? Should we stop preaching separation? Should we stop preaching holiness and just preach basically anything and everything goes, and you can bring your pot-bellied Buddha god, and you can bring your Shinto god, and I guess you might as well bring your monkey god, but just keep him off my sandwich if you don't care. And we'll all just bring it all together, and we'll all just all worship together, and we'll all worship the same God. Or do you all want truth? What do you want? What do you want to assimilate into? We're all going to get married, friends. Oh, how the Almighty
us long for this time. I heard Brother Darrell say it the other night as I walked off the platform, that as they went way out by satellites and they turned their camera back toward the earth and the sun, and they looked and they found this little tiny blue speck, and it looked like a speck of dust compared to all the stars and the planets in the universe. When I walked through that door there, it hit me. I thought, Lord God. So God, off of that speck of dust, took a handful of dust and made a man, and then come to the earth and took another handful out of that speck and made his own body in the form of Jesus. And one day we're all going to reunite again on this speck of dust. Your home is not the biggest. Your home is not the largest in the universe. But she is the choicest. Hallelujah. Our church, our belief, our this and the other, it is not the largest. It is not the most loved. It is not the most respected, but it is the choice. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Notice how it ties now the accepted sacrifice of your body. Why won't you offer your soul? The soul was done annihilated, that old nature, when God filled you with the Holy Ghost. The judgment of God broke upon your nature, and God annihilated you and gave you a new man. So you're not presenting your soul, it's already his. But we are daily presenting our bodies, and what a presentation of sacrifice it is when the constant onslaught against us every day. You cannot pick up your smartphone without being something on there. Come on now, don't get quiet. You go just to read the news and there's an advertisement here and one over there. All types of sad stuff, and this one murdered this one and this one killed this one. All types of horrible stuff every day of your life. And if it doesn't make you hard, it'll desensitize you. Where we read of 1,000 deaths, do we cry about it anymore? No. Why? We hear so much death and destruction. We could read this afternoon an earthquake hit wherever more, and 5,000 people died. Most of us sitting here this morning would probably not even bow our heads and say, God, be merciful to their families. Do you? What's it doing? What's it doing? Assimilating our spirit. Assimilating our attitude. This is why people come to church with a no-care attitude. Friends, it ain't been that many years ago where you couldn't hardly run people off from church. Now you look at them cross-eyed and they won't be back for 47 years. I mean, you can't beg them. You can't buy them. I've been thinking about trying to sell membership to get folks to come faithful, except I'll pay you to come. Why? People's missing something with God. That's why. Isn't it amazing that people pay big bucks to go to a ball game? They buy hot dogs. They buy cigarettes. They buy beer. They buy all the stuff. They have to get a motel and they have to drive so-and-so. Cost them maybe hundreds of dollars to go to a ball game, and their side loses. And then the next place where their team is playing, they'll go right back and do the same thing again. And you come to the house of God, we don't charge you admission. We don't sell hot dogs and hamburgers here, so don't come down. We sure don't sell cigarettes. So it don't cost you nothing, and it's a free will offer. And if you don't want to give, you don't have to. We have eternal life. We have divine healing. We have miracles. We have restoration. We have all kinds of things going on, and you can't even beg people to come and get it. You're offering all these great things, and people say, I don't want to go.
That's right.
I guess I better close. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. And the church said,
Amen.
Romans 12:3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. Isn't it amazing? This prophet of God would feel the need to write to people that they wouldn't become arrogant. Why would Christians have to deal with this? Because Christians are still left with this. And we are living in an I age. iPad, iPhone, I this, I that. It's a day of self-gratification and self-satisfaction. And what is it that feeds that? The things around us. And then people bring it right off the street, right out of their home, and they bring it right into church. I didn't like the way he said that. I did not like that one note that Brother Larry hit on that lower C. He hit that so strong when he hit it, vibrated me plumb to my pew. That ain't nothing. Did you hear Sister Betty? When they went down to that seventh off that diminished chord and they augmented, she missed that chord. And Brother Gary did too. And most of you don't know what I even said. So they bring their I attitude into church. How come he asked? Why? Now watch. Our attitude reflects who we're marrying. Jesus didn't carry an iPhone or an iPad or an iPod or an iHeart. Nothing wrong with an iPad. I've got one here. Nothing wrong with an iPhone. But what gets you in trouble is an iHeart. To where you put I in the center of that heart. And everything and everybody is to work around that. Oh my. And if we're not careful, friends, we will assimilate. And assimilate. And assimilate. No wonder Paul said, don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing. Renewing. Renewing of your mind. Your mind becomes the conduit through which both supernatural powers can run in. This morning, this body pack that I have has a selective number of channels in it. But there's also a receiver up here that has the same thing. Because we have several of these Sennheiser receivers and microphones. If one goes out, I can go in and select this one to be able to put it on another one, and that will pick it up. But if it's not but 93.5 and we jump over to 93.8, just a little bit, you'll still be able to hear me, but signal will come and go, and it'll be real staticky. And you won't be able to make out what's being said because it's not exactly on the right frequency. It's like being saved and just not being a victorious Christian. God in heaven and hell and Jesus. And man alive, I didn't get nothing out of church today. Just a bunch of... Wonder what's wrong with Brother Donnie. What if it wasn't Brother Donnie? What if it was your frequency? Because when I was preaching, you was at Walmart. Some of you was in your kayak. Kayaking down the river. Some of you were on the 13th hole or whatever that is, and you were... Some of you had eat your lunch. You were sitting on your porch. You were in La La Land. Oh God, I hope he hurries. Does he know my nap time is 3? I understand mine's about 3 too, so I do try to watch that. What'd you get out of the service? Children, it's a struggle when we come here. Be honest. All hell will fight through your mind. Some of you got service calls waiting, and you've got this, and you've got that, and oh my goodness, I've got to go, I've got to hurry, I've got to rush, I've got to get out of your mind, we've got to, we need to slow down and take a rapture together. Praise God. Praise God. I know I'm getting old and I'm getting wore out. My chiropractor asked me the other day when I was going to retire. Brother Tim Humes asked me yesterday before the wedding when I was going to retire. I said, is this some kind of omen or something? I mean, retire. Good night, just because I'm 61, I mean, I'm ready to just kick the bucket, I don't reckon. But friends, if I ever get to the place that I can't help you, don't feel sorry for me. Get somebody in here who'll tell you the truth. Get a preacher who'll preach the truth to you. Get a preacher that you can stand shoulder to shoulder with and say, brother, I commit me and my wife and our children, our souls, I lay them in your hands. Lord, have mercy, God. So we can leave this world. Back. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together. I'm sure most of you feel like I do today. You know yourself that you deal so much with this world and its power of assimilation and power of persuasiveness through your family, through your colleagues that you work with. Through some you find are very nice and they don't understand you and they just basically leave you alone. Others are not going to be as gentle. They're going to pry and probe and then they'll find out where you go to church, what you believe. They're going to try to change you or try to influence you. Don't ever be hateful with people. Be nice with them. But just let them know where you stand. You're not for sale. There's only so much that our minds can contain, our hearts can perceive. You select what you allow to go in your mind. You can fill it with nonsense, you can fill it with vanity, or you can fill it with the good things of God. We're all getting married, and there is coming a wedding day. While the bride is enjoying the marriage supper of the Lamb there in heaven, tribulation will be going on the earth. And God said, I will cast her and her children into a bed of great tribulation. Satan will get his wife. Finally, the earth will be his. Thank God we'll be gone. How many wants to be there that day? That great marriage supper of the Lamb. Me too. Let's just bow our heads together, shall we? Lord Jesus, I thank you today, Lord, for your word. I must say, last Sunday and today both have been so different. Lord, have the direction that I studied, yet, Lord, you took it another way. So, Father, we give you thanks for that. You know what we need. I pray, make me always sensitive to that, Lord, that I'll follow the Spirit of God no matter what. So we stand here today, Lord, in your presence. We admit, Father, that we become assimilated. We admit, Father, that these 2/3 of us, which is unredeemed, we have to keep it in check, under control, and subject to the Word of God. But Lord, by no means does that mean that we want to be married to the God of this age. We believe in our souls we are married to Jesus Christ, the Word. We are grateful for that. But we also admit today, Lord Jesus, in your presence, our old flesh, our old spirit, it has to be whipped and corrected and disciplined. But we thank you for the Word that comes and does that. I pray you administer to every heart here today, visible and invisible. May the Spirit of God deal with the preachers, the deacons, the trustees, the moms, the dads, the youths of our church. Lord, those, as Brother Louis addresses them, Lord, the streamers, those from different states to different nations around the world, may the Spirit of God go to your people. We don't just pray for those that's part of this church, but we want to pray for your people around the world globally. No doubt, Father, many have joined themselves up with some system around this message. Lord God, pull your bride out of every system, I pray. We thought we was done with them things when we left the organizations, but now we realize the spirit of organization has come around us. And it's made its walls by doctrines and this man and this gift and that gift. But Father, we refuse to be in bondage. We have one husband, and that's Jesus Christ. Help us, I pray, Lord Jesus. We don't want to be married to the prophet. We don't want to be married to our pastor. We want to be married to Christ. Eliezer came and got Rebecca and took her back on the way to meet this man she had never met before. I don't believe that Eliezer described himself and how wonderful he was and how great he was and how honored she was for him to be there. And he must have been talking about Eliezer just about all the way back home. Because when he got her back home, she didn't even need a private introduction. Most people that had never met a woman that was going to marry or marry a man, meet a man that they had never met before, they'd want a private introduction. Hello, Rebecca. This is your husband to be. If you all like each other and things work out between you, Isaac, this is the wife I picked out for you. But through that invisible union of what that messenger had to say, she veiled her head and lighted off the camel and fell into his arms, and he took her into the tent, and she became his wife. Praise God. Oh, Lord Jesus, make me that kind of a preacher. I'll never be an Eliezer like a prophet, but make me that kind of a preacher, Lord. I'll be able to preach Jesus so real, his love so wonderful, that when we meet you that morning of the rapture, it will be our first time to behold you with our eyes. But through the gifts that you've set among us, we'll feel that we know you so well. We won't need an introduction. We'll be able to walk right up before you and hug you. Put our arms around you. Hallelujah. You're the one I've heard Brother Branham talk about. You're the one that Brother Darrell cried about. You're the one that Brother Horn told us about. You're the one that Brother Donnie preached to us. They made you so real, Lord Jesus. I feel like I have known you since eternity. Make us men, Lord, these preachers, that kind of preachers. Granted, I pray, Lord. Help us, Father, to have a great balance in all things of life. Golfing is not sin of itself. Going kayaking on the river or the lake, or going hunting, or going camping, or the sisters enjoy going shopping. Many of those things are not sin of themselves, as long as they don't become so assimilated into it that that's all they think about. That's their joy of life. And they can't wait till church is over till they can do it. Lord, if they're looking at things like that in their hobbies in their life, help them to realize they may have something a little bit out of cater. Church ought to be the greatest thing in our life. Shopping may be fun, and hunting may be fun, and other things we may enjoy doing. But church, oh my, church. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We love you today, Father. Minister to our hearts, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. How could I be married to you? How could I fall in love with you? Yet the mystery revealed about your blessed will, that you could fall in love with me. You've told us we're your bride. We came, Lord, from your side. Somehow we were in your mind. Lord, we believe it's true. We were in eternity with you. We're in a marriage age, both saved and lost today. Our desire is only to you. To you, Lord, we want to be true. We are glad this very day. Soon we will be going away to be your spotless bride in heaven. To be by your side. Oh, come north wind and blow. May the power of God let us know. Eternity is right before us. Soon we will embrace the mighty God at the table we'll set down. Glory. All our friends and loved ones be around. All at once, here comes the King. He'll wipe the tears from our eyes as we begin to sing. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Let's sing it again. Oh, we already have our wedding ring slipped on our hand before the world began. Predestinated, unmerited grace. It's the divine secret that helps me run and win this race. Amen. Glory be to God. Oh, blessed be the Lord God. Now I feel like English ain't good enough. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord God. The mighty Adonai. the first, the last, the supreme almighty God, creator of heavens and earth, who came down here to live on this earth. Soon he's coming back again for those that are faithful to return to eternity again. Believes it. After the service Thursday night at the camp meeting, a sister come up to him and she said, "I'm so glad I got to see you." She said, "Last year on Thursday night when you preached and you had the people to stand, if they had a need in their body, you said, 'Claim it and believe the promise.' I was dealing about the executor of the will." She said, "I have been a diabetic for 40 years. Was taking 50 units of insulin every day." And she said, "At the end of that service, the Holy Ghost struck me and dropped it in my heart. And I told my husband whenever we left, 'No more insulin.'" She said, "I've lost 50 pounds and God has healed me. No more insulin." Amen. Hallelujah. Do you believe? You believe we're serving that same God? What's your needs today? Can you assimilate into that testimony and believe? Oh, you say, "Brother Donnie, would you do that for me?" I've never done nothing for her. Well, if I could heal you, I'd heal every one of you this morning. I don't have the ability to do it. I can pray for you. The healing's already here. If you could get it in your mind, it's just as simple as pulling through a Walgreens and getting a script. And the doctor's called it in. "What's your name?" "Well, William Smith, Donnie Reagan. What's your address?" "So and so." "All right, sir, it'll be $12.95 or whatever more." If you could get it in your mind that by his stripes you're healed and the prescription is already filled, praise be to God, you can walk out of here this morning with your body healed. Amen. Praise God.
Name of
this prayer cloth that I've wore today when I preached your word. Lord, you see this need. Sister Donna Ornduff's cousin, Lord, you see the doctors have done all they can do. But may the Spirit of God move for her, Lord. We believe you, Lord. I remember not too long ago, Father, a little baby was born that didn't have a valve in its heart. The little baby's daddy worked with one of the brothers at the church here, and he said, I hear y'all believing, praying for the sick. He said, would you bring me a prayer cloth? I wore it, and we prayed over it. Took it to the daddy. He took it back to the intensive care unit to where the baby was, and the doctors surveying and seeing if they could be able to put a valve. They put the prayer cloth on the baby. The next morning, Adonai had created the valve. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. You're mighty God, Father. You believe him, children. Oh, don't put him in the past. Don't put him over there tomorrow. Just this past week, Carol's sister had been suffering with a terrible kidney stone. Me and Carol prayed for her. It eased up and it hit her again really, really bad. She said, please, y'all pray. I'm so sick. Please pray. Me and Carol prayed just in a little bit. She texted her back in a few minutes with pictures of a busted up kidney stone. Now, I know that doctors can do it because I've had it done through lithotripsy. But I guess God's got a lithotripsy too. It wasn't one great old big one that had been passed, but it was several pictures of small ones that had been busted up and had been passed. Glory to God. Our God is a mighty God. What do you need today? He can meet every one of your needs if you can assimilate into his power right here this morning. Amen. Let's pray for our brother Jerry Glenn. Let's pray for him, shall we? Amen. Our brother's had surgery and had some complications. Lord Jesus, we call the name of our brother to you this morning. We're thankful for what the doctors can do, the surgeons can do, remove bad parts and so on. Yet, Lord Jesus, we know that you are our healer. Hallelujah. We are assimilating. Glory to God. The body change is so near. The supernatural miracles are among us, Lord. Each time you perform a miracle, it is a little down payment of a body change. Why shouldn't we believe in miracles? Why shouldn't we believe in divine healing? We're fixing to believe for a great divine healing when our body is going to be transformed back to young men and young women. May the Spirit of God move for our brother Jerry, Lord. May you help him, Father. May you touch him, Lord. May every one of these complications leave our brother. In the name of Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, friends, I can send your miracles that happened to people I prayed for in Pentecost. That's well and good. You've heard me share different things of cross eyes that would straighten out all kinds of things that happened. But if that God can't do the same thing today, I'm just preaching a historical God. I don't want to just read what God done in the 50s. I don't want to tell you what God done for me whenever I was preaching in the tents. I want to tell you he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine.